Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to Comic Book Rundown.
Woo-hoo!
I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And our friend, Ellie.
Hello.
And today, we're reading the Grimm Fairy Tales. We are on the fourth story of this arc, issue number 10, and it is The Frog King. If you'd like to listen to our previous episodes, you can go back to the last three, or you can check out episodes 70 through 75 for the complete Grimm Fairy Tales story. So we start this one here, The Frog King. It was written by Mike...
Wazowski.
No. Mike Cavoda. Art by Julian Aguilera. Colors by Mark McNabb. Letters by Art Monkeys. And we also get a story by Joe Tyler, Ralph Tedesco, and Mike Caldova.
Calvoda.
Whatever. Calvoda. We start this one out, and we are in biology class, and... we have the teacher who, I mean, it's Sella. We know that. We don't know that immediately. We find out here in a second.
Yeah, but she's basically telling them what they're going to have to do to start dissecting these frogs. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, like, lift frog skins with the forceps, make an incision with
blah,
the scalpel.
Blah, 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 work together.
And there's
don't
this little
be
blonde
person,
girl
blah,
with
blah.
Her thumb hanging out.
Yeah.
And she says, ew, I'm going to be sick.
We have this guy, her lab partner, named Neville. He is... So he's passing along this... I guess just the...
Completed...
is that what it's supposed to be?
What it is I believe he already completed one set of their things they have to...
Oh, okay, to tag everything?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And she's just like this girl, Lizette.
Thank you, Neville.
Yeah, I think we just call her
Liz. Sing-song voice.
Yeah. He's like, so you promised we'd go grab a latte. And her being the ditzy blonde... Don't give a fuck.
Let's say ditzy blonde.
The uppity blonde.
Let's say the arrogant blonde.
Arrogant works too.
It doesn't even matter she's blonde. She's an arrogant, popular girl.
There we go.
Is basically what it is.
Probably
what it boils down to.
I bet it. Because she immediately is like, hey, don't you think it's weird to be wearing that scarf when it's like 96,000 degrees?
And so like he moves his scarf a little bit and this birthmark on the side of his neck shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a big red splotch that looks kind of like the map of the...
Europe.
Yeah.
It looks like a fantasy map. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, it's okay, Lizette. I'll make the incision.
She's just like, what's that on your neck? All disgusted like.
Yeah.
That's what
like,
he says.
It's just a birthmark. Yeah. Oh my God, it's disgusting. And so, like, he gets a little agitated and stabs the frog.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Like, you're picking on me, bitch. Shut the fuck up.
And then she's all like, no, I'm gonna be sick. And, like, can we talk a minute for how fucking stacked she is on the top half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, not just the tits,
look
but look at her arms.
Is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks very, what was that wrestler? China?
Yeah.
Yeah, very China-like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Deja vu. Yeah. And then we have someone coming to kind of, like,
to Neville's aid.
Yeah, to Neville's aid. Leave the poor guy alone.
We'll call him the Big Blue Boy Scout.
Yeah, the Big Blue Boy Scout.
Call him Captain America?
No, Big Blue Boy Scout. Superman.
Captain
Ass-America.
Blue.
That's America's ass, buddy. All right, anyways. So, and I'd just like to also point out that I'm not a big fan of the art style for this one.
This
right
art is...
I mean, they're wrong. It's not like horrible art, but it doesn't fit with the rest of the stories that we
have.
For the way that they drew Sella.
We still get this running theme of every woman has a thin waist, massive chest.
Yeah, but like
well,
this right here makes her look like she came out of an episode of Batman the Animated Series.
I love Batman the Animated
Series.
Dude,
I loved it too. But the rest of them, you know, they look like you
it's
know,
more human. Well, not humanistic because Jack and the Beanstalk is kind of.
Okay, but it was cartoony-ish. More. It was more.
It's not as exaggerant.
Yeah. The facial features weren't so over the top.
Yeah.
I guess.
And from what I can recall, this is the only time this art style is used in the Grimm Fairy Tales. I honestly don't remember. It's been forever since I've read.
Mm-hmm. And there's
the
a
other
lot of issues.
There are a lot of issues. But I think around, I don't know, somewhere in the 70s, issues 60s, 70s, they kind of stick with one art style. And they're using that for a while. They went away from the individual story for each issue to a actual story arc covering the issues. So I don't know. We will just have to kind of see what happens. There are now. This art isn't terrible. It's still very cartoony. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some coming up here soon with the Grim Fairy Tales that gets very odd. And when we get there, we'll see. Not in these issues.
Yeah.
It's going to be like volumes like 4 and 5.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. we got some time before we get to those. But yeah, so now we follow Cella.
Cella follows Lizette out in the hallway.
Thank you. And she said, hey, I believe you dropped this when you dropped your report. And Lizette's like, that's not mine. Oh, but it must be. See, your name is written all over it.
I'd like to point out right here, though, that this time the book is gold.
Yeah, it's a different...
gold instead of red and gold.
I mean, it's like a very brownish more than...
Yeah, but still, it's not the same color as the book was before, either.
Correct.
Yeah, they're still agreeing about the third frame on this page, 82. Looks to be similar to the red book.
I mean, it is the red book. Well, mm-hmm. You guys don't know it yet, but there are other books. We'll see them down the line.
Oh, cool.
Cella sticks with just the red one. And I'm just going to attribute that to coloring issue.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, it happens.
So we go to the story, and it's the story of the Frog King.
We open up on a castle set out in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and there's a...
a carriage.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what the fuck it was called. I was going to say a chariot. There's a carriage sitting on the road, like, outside of the castle, and a shadow in front of it. Then on our next page, we get our gratuitous sex scene,
yeah.
Or our gratuitous, you know, nudity scene, where the Princess Calliope... is wearing basically nothing but a see-through...
like a see-through silk gown?
Yeah.
Not even a gown, just... Yeah,
slip, I think it's a slip, like,
yeah.
Underneath the dress.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it leaves nothing to the imagination.
Literally.
Why? I'm wearing a gown of the finest silk.
Kinda.
Yeah.
she's trying on these dresses, and it's literally taking her all day. Well, mm-hmm. we can assume...
It goes from being bright out to going dark.
Yeah.
Now, either it's supposed to represent her hopelessness at how much she hates looking at herself, or...
No. I think
actually
it's more along the lines of her being so arrogant that nothing fits her the way that it makes her look her best.
Yeah, she's trying to show off her bits, which, you want to show off your bits, just wear that slip.
Right?
Yeah.
You already know what you want.
The dick.
Basically. But she gets down there, and her dad, the king, tells Calliope, the princess... That
what was her name?
Shut up. That the suitor, Baron Reeve, just left on his carriage. He'll be back later.
Calliope. Reeve left because it took you too damn long to put on clothes, bitch.
And so she's like, fine, I'm going to go to the forest to gaze at the far
to
well.
To quench my thirst.
And we see a pull into a blonde-haired lad with a couple of scars on his face. Bright
and
blue eyes.
He is following her... not following her.
Watching her.
Yeah, he's watching her as she leaves.
I mean, granted, you know, like, if there was a princess that looked like that walking around when I was that kid's age, I'd have probably been following her, too, because, I mean, come on, look at the way she's drawn. Look at those hips. Look at the, you know...
That waist. That
exactly.
Boobs.
A kid in puberty, which is probably where he's at.
Like corset, and everyone looks good in corset.
We just assume. I'm assuming this guy's, like, a young man. Like, he's...
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I assumed he was, like, 14 or 15.
Yeah, I was looking more 18 to 20...
Yeah,
range.
I was thinking like early 20s, yeah.
Yeah. So Calliope goes off to the well. And I do find it funny because, you know, the king has said, we have this well right here in the castle. Why don't you just go there? And as she's walking away,
thirsty.
I'm not thirsty. But once she gets to this well, she starts to drink. And I'm assuming that's part of the magical properties of the well.
Well, it could also be that, you know, the well is fairly far away. So, like, by the time she got there, she probably was thirsty.
It could be possible.
And she's thirsty for this baron, too.
Thirsty for his duke.
Yep.
And as she is trying to make this wish, she leans in and smacks her crown.
Bunk, fucking, just headbutts the beam.
And knocks the pearl that's in her crown
mm-hmm.
out of the crown.
It's like a golden pearl or something.
Like, okay,
yeah, go with a golden crown.
Her hand when she's reaching in the water, is it just me or does that look like an old person's hand?
It does. It got, I noticed that too.
Okay.
They got pruny real fast.
Yeah. And she starts to
cry.
She starts crying.
My crown, it's disfigured. Mm-hmm. What'll I ever mm-hmm. do? Oh, whoa.
And then she starts hearing this.
Oh, whoa? What's this? A frog in my well?
Ooh, woo.
What the fuck is that from?
From this weeb over here.
Okay.
Anyways.
She starts hearing this voice.
Yo, bitch, quit crying.
Wasn't gonna go that far, but okay.
Frog daddy's got your back.
God, you.
Basically, she's like, where's this voice coming from? And this frog that has got this... I mean, okay, so the parallels from the original. It's a birthmark on this frog. It's just... purple wait, little spot you just know below
it's a birthmark
his...
on the frog? Maybe it was like he had gotten attacked.
Okay, either way. He's got a purple scar bruise underneath his... on his throat.
He's got the same mm-hmm. coloring that Neville had on yeah. his neck.
And he's basically saying, you know, your play has moved me. I will... She's like, he says, I'll go get that pearl for you. And Calliope's just like, okay, well, what do you want in return? Like, something for nothing? Come on. And he says, you know, I only want to make you happy every morning. I watch you look down into this lonely well, never seeing me. But I see you, dear Calliope. You know, in return for finding your pearl, I humbly ask to be your companion, that I might sit at your table, sleep at your feet, and hear you speak of me as your friend. Do you promise? And she's like, yes, yes, I promise. And flicks him.
As soon as she gets the pearl, she flicks him yeah. off the into the side of the well.
And rushes off.
Okay, and dude, I'd like to point out, not only when she rushes off, she is literally wearing nothing underneath that dress.
Yeah.
I mean, high
she
five
pulls it up to run, so of course we get the obligatory full leg and thigh.
Well, not to
it's a full
the,
page.
Not to mention the
it's full,
a full cleavage.
Page.
Again, she was going to take a ride with Baron Reeve.
Her on?
You gotta get that easy access.
She was looking to get laid.
She's looking to ride on Baron Reeve. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she leaves the frog behind and...
goes back to the castle.
Yeah, and so they're at dinner with her dad, Baron Reeve, and...
she's got
a giant hog.
Yeah, that's a lot of pig for two people or three people to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyways...
If I was a servant and I saw that, I'd be pissed.
Not me, I'd just be waiting until they're done with it, and then I'd take as much of it after I was done and eat it.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice and cold, though. They don't have microwaves to heat up.
Dude, cold ham's good. They have fires.
That's fair.
Anyway, so the king's like, oh, good Baron Reeve. That would make me very happy if you were to take my daughter on a carriage ride. And then he winks at him. Oh, wait, no, he's got both eyes closed. I literally thought he was winking. Okay. In my defense.
That's what's fair. Going on? Is this drink full?
Before... anything else happens, though, we hear this tapping at the door.
Rapping at the chamber door.
And we have the frog.
Princess, open the door, please!
She gets instantly pissed off.
She gets mad.
And her eyes turn green?
Don't you remember that you promised if I helped you?
What were they she turns to her dad and she's like, Daddy, this frog, this enchanted frog, tricked me. It demands that I be his friend. And the dad's just, the king's just like, if you gave your word to a charmed creature, yeah, you might want to, you have to honor that.
So go open the fucking door, bitch. Yeah.
It's a talking frog. It could be a god in disguise.
And then Superman here, he's like, perhaps we should postpone that carriage ride.
Because I guess he's allergic to frogs, or terrified of them. So he's like, oh, frog, I gotta leave now.
Well, if he's Superman, the frog's green.
Crypto frog. Color association. Like, oh no. Not the green stuff.
But her eyes are green, too.
So there's a lot of green in the story, really.
But anyway, so the frog, like, you know, we get this stared on, and the frog's just like, croak.
Now look back at him. Now back to me. Now back to the frog.
So this next page is basically the frog telling the princess, hey, you know, put me on the table. King's like, Calliope, do it. The frog's like, let me sleep on your bed. King's like, Calliope, do it.
And then the princess is like, so she picks him up, shoves him between her breasts, and then puts him on the bed beside
mm-hmm.
her.
Yep.
I mean, high five to him. You know, he's rubbing his cute little face on her boobs. And...
it gets me, too. He's always asking nicely, like, would you kindly put me up there?
Oh, my
would
God.
Would you kindly?
Would you kindly?
Would you kindly? Would you kindly put me up there in that bed, please?
And then the last Well, not the last page. The next page is
he says, you know, princess, now would you kindly bid me good night as you... Yeah,
make your promise complete and say good night, my friend. And she, as he yawns.
Yeah.
And she looks over and then just fucking knocks him out the window, hits him against the ledge, and basically almost kills him.
Instantly eats him.
Kind of kill him. Like, we've got his leg and his... Well, two legs missing.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a nice gash on his, what would be his chest.
Cobblestones.
Yeah, like, that's a lot of blood. Like, and by the time the next morning comes, he's dead.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then we get the maybe tween young adult guy with the scars.
He looks a lot older in these pictures right here.
I almost thought you said twink. I
was like, Jesus. Wow.
Hey.
He grabs the frog and he's like,
Master.
And he takes the frog to the Farwell. All the while, the king is looking on this guy like, what are you doing, creepo?
And he's still drinking, too.
He's a king. What else the fuck you gotta do?
You're right.
Ah, beer. Yes. So he throws him the well and he turns into a generalist man.
So the next day, or I guess maybe even later that day, I should say, there's this carriage that comes riding in and... The princess thinks that it's Baron Reeve.
Christopher Reeve, yeah.
He does kind of look like Christopher Reeve, the curly hair and everything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the colors of the suit just happen to match Superman's colors. You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean...
And speaking of heroes, our princess is now dressed up like a villain.
Oh, yeah. The long purple gloves all the way past the elbow.
Tight purple dress, impossibly squeezing around parts.
And it's got a V all the way down to her navel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like...
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody dressed in that.
Like Joey. Yeah.
Thanks.
Ever looks good in leather.
Is it Baron Reeve? No, my lady. It is not the lowly Baron, but a king.
Here's a question. Is this... guy talking to princess, is it the same? Show his face.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's the same servant that she's never paid attention to.
But yeah, so he says it's the king, and so she goes hopping in, because why the fuck not? And they go off on this ride.
Oh, my beautiful king. Beauty, 'tis a reflection of one's soul. Tell me, sweet, are you as beautiful on the inside as you are on the out? Oh, yes, she says with her blue eyes now.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Is that him saying that or her? Because her eyes change. I'm going to assume it's reflection in his eyes. I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have any eyelashes. She does. That's how it works.
That's how it works?
Yeah. Well, except for in real life, men have better eyelashes than women most of the time.
My art teacher was very jealous of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which one?
Mrs. Ballinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had a Ballinger. She was a math teacher, though.
There
you
go.
Yeah, not the same Ballinger.
Nope.
Yeah,
totally not. Different. As the journey goes, the servant decides that they're going to stop by the well and get a drink of water because it's going to be a long journey.
My reflection, it's different, she says.
Yeah.
And then the king says, there's a beauty in the water, but it's no match for the magic that stands above it.
And Thank then she you, says, I think.
Yeah.
As she then takes a drink of the water, she starts to cough. And
he says, truly, you are as beautiful on the inside as out. And as she grabs a hold of the neckerchief
that
it pulls down and you see
the frog scar that
except it's different in this picture. They didn't do as good of a job of making it.
Well, it's what we see the quote-unquote birthmark.
Yeah.
Just proving that this is the same frog that she...
And then in the next picture, she turns into the fucking She-Hulk.
Yeah, and then the one after that is like...
It's
a frog with like chitinous skin, almost.
It's a swamp monster.
Well, a very creature of the Black Lagoon.
There you go, that's what I was thinking.
So, I don't know what she's trying to do. I don't know if she's trying to run away, but somehow she... Knocks
and bashes her knees right into the well.
And it falls in.
It's that spot right there in the knees where you know it hurt like a bitch. Yeah,
definitely. The servant takes the boards and basically blocks off the well.
Well, this well is going to taste like shit now. I better close it up. My question is, what the fuck was he nailing through the stone to keep that lid on?
He had the mortar nails, concrete nails. Because, you know, they made them back then. No, you're right. That's very... It's very interesting that he was able to do that.
I totally believed you because I had no idea. I was like, I don't know. Maybe they made some really heavy-duty nails back then.
We go back to the real world, and Lizette's like, you know, what a dreadful story. Keep your filthy book. And Sela is just... She's trying to teach Lizette a lesson.
Mm.
And Lizette's not even listening.
Yeah. Lesson did not stick at all.
Save the lecture, Miss Thang. Well, sorry, Thing. Your package has passed its expiration date.
Oof. I disagree with that.
Agreed.
But anyways, so she goes to take a drink out of the drinking fountain, you know.
And then we notice her necklace with the gold pearl. Looks just like the one that the princess in the story had, yep. Calliope.
And then Calliope. She says...
Calliope?
Calliope. Anyways, and then she says, this water, it tastes funny. And she's got these little green queasy marks around her face.
Mm-hmm. As swirls. She walks into the bathroom.
Bell rings.
So class is over.
We go back to Neville.
Mm-hmm. And the, what do we call him? The big blue Boy Scout?
Yeah. Don't let it get you down, bro.
He's being a good friend.
Being a bro.
Yeah.
And then Sela comes up behind him and she's like, I know you wrote Lizette's report for her, Neville. And he's like, I'm sorry, and she's like, yeah, you wanted her to like you. You can't make someone like you, especially not someone like that. And then he says, but she promised. And bad things come to those who break their word. She says, you know, Neville, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, there's only something wrong with people who think there's something wrong with you. And then she says, you know, be careful next time. He gives him a little kiss on the head. It's mm-hmm. all sweet and stuff. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear this scream coming from the bathroom. And Lizette has now turned into this giant, well, not giant, this green muck monster. Like, her skin is now all green and boily and very similar to the properties of, like, a frog.
Right.
And that's... Basically, she learned her lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, she didn't learn her lesson, and that's why she got chained.
Good point. Good point.
Punishment for those who don't learn their lesson.
Good point. And that's how we end this issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this grim fairy tale story.